Today, I thought Sister Angela was going to preach my message, but she preached part one, and I'm going to preach part two. So did not get a chance to hear her on Wednesday night, make sure you go to the website and listen. It was a blessing. And so take a moment to listen to that. So this is the continuation. This is part two. So title of my message today is Obedient to God. And we'll start in Genesis in the 22nd chapter, and this is a familiar story. And it's Abraham is asked to sacrifice Isaac. And we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at being obedient to God. And one of the things we are called to do as a Christian is to be obedient. And that sounds simple enough, but there's a lot to it, and there's a lot of things that we have to realize in being obedient. So we'll start in Genesis in the 22nd verse, and it says in the 22nd chapter in the first verse, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." And that word tempt means to test or to prove. And we have to understand that our faith has to be tested. We are going to go through tests. We are going to go through trials. And I read it somewhere that great faith must be tested greatly. And we know that Abraham is considered the father of faith, so we know that the test that he had to endure had to be a mighty one. And in the second verse it says, "And he said," and this is God talking to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom you lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." What a solemn statement to hear from God. This boy that Abraham had prayed for and had waited for and waited on the Lord for, this that had caused him troubles and trials, and he finally has this son. And in the commentaries, they think he was probably somewhere around a teenager. And I can't imagine how proud Abraham was of his son. And he knew, man, God is going to deliver. And right as his son is starting into manhood, God talks to him and tells him, "You're going to sacrifice your son." And we should have a hint of what's going to happen, because he tells him to take him to the land of Moriah, and Moriah equals God will provide. And so we understand that everything in the Bible either points towards the cross if it's before the crucifixion happened, or it points back to the cross after the crucifixion. Death was the only way that mankind could be saved. Death was the only way into salvation. And so this is an example of someone having to die so that humanity could be redeemed. God never intended for Isaac to be sacrificed. And we can look, as we read the whole story now, we know that was never the case. God was looking for obedience. God is looking for obedience from each and every one of us. And God will ask us from time to time to sacrifice things that we don't want to sacrifice. Now, we get a hard time if God asked us to sacrifice something minor, sacrifice some time and read, sacrifice some time and pray. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son. And I really want that to sink in this morning. He was asked to sacrifice his own son. And we look at that, And we say, how could God ask that? And I'm sure all of the things that ran through Abraham's mind, the confusion, the, God, I don't understand why. And it could be asked, how did he know that was God? Because of his relationship to God. Saints, we have to get close to God. How many know that he talks in a still, small voice? So you can't be far away from him and hear him. You have to get close. If someone's whispering, you've got to get close to hear them. We have to be close to God. Our relationship with God has to be close. That's how Abraham knew that it was God, because he was walking closely with God. He was in relationship with God. I would ask you this morning, what is your relationship with God? How close are you to God? And what you'll find, the closer that you get to God, the more you realize you got to work on. The closer you get to him, the more he starts peeling things back and goes, yep, you need to work on this, you need to work on this. And then you get that fixed, and he goes, well, here's some other things. We couldn't handle it if God rolled out everything that we needed to work on and said, here's all your faults and failures. Well, I don't know that there's anybody of us that could handle that. So he gives us a little bit at a time. But when he speaks to us, the expectation is that we are obedient. This is the first time in the scriptures that love is used, because God is love. And again, we talk about the importance of our relationship and the and importance of being close to God. That's how we hear from God. It's not always a burning bush. You know, it's not always a hand written on the wall. Sometimes it's your reading and God will open up the scriptures to you. Sometimes it's quiet time and alone time with God, and he'll open up and lay something in your heart. And it's usually nothing. It's usually a phrase or a sentence or something small. And then you take and God opens it up to you and says, here's my plan. Here's what I want. And so we see where Abraham was in relation with God, and God gives him this seemingly impossible task. And here was Abraham's response in the third verse. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. He rose up early the next morning. He was about the father's business. He woke up and said, let's go. He had his doubts, he had his fears, but he said, I will be obedient to my heavenly father. And as he began this journey, it says in the fourth verse that it was 3 days' journey. He lifted up his eyes and he saw afar off. 72 hours. 72 hours they traveled. I can only imagine the anguish that Abraham felt, the questions, the praying, the just uncertainty of what was going to happen in the next few hours. But he finally comes to the land of Moriah, and he sees the mountain, and God tells him that's it. And then in the fifth verse, Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Do you refer to your hard times and troubles as worship? That's what Abraham said. Abraham knew what he was going to do, and in his mind and his heart, he had made up his mind, God has asked me to sacrifice, therefore I will sacrifice. But what did he tell his people? He said, we're going to go and worship. Can you worship in the midst of sacrifice? Can you worship in the midst of being obedient to God, even when you don't want to? Even when what God is asking you to do seems impossible, can you still make it a time of worship? Can you still make it a time of joy? Abraham said, I'm on my way to worship. I understand what I'm about to do, but I'm on my way to worship. That was his mindset. That was his heart. And we have to get our minds right. We have to get our minds right as we walk in this life. We talk about, you know, as Americans, we believe in our rights. We have rights, we have protections, and we stand on those. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand, in the kingdom of God, it's about obedience. In the kingdom of God, it's about following what God has asked us to do, even when we don't want to do it. You know, I deal with teenagers. My job, I'm constantly in contact with teenagers, and one of the things they all have in common is they all tell me that they're grown. That they all tell me, and I tell every one of them, I said, man, I remember when I was 17. I remember how smart I was. I knew it all. But the other thing I tell them is this, is the one of the highest levels of adulting is doing what someone has asked you to do that you don't want to do. And that's a hard lesson to learn. And it's the same thing in our Christian walk. God is going to ask you to do something. God is going to ask you to sacrifice something. God is going to ask you to not be involved in something that you don't want to do. But obedience says, yes, Lord. Obedience says, I'll walk in that. I'll go through that. And in the sixth verse, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I love what Abraham says in the eighth verse, in his answer. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide. God will not give you a promise. God will not ask you to sacrifice that he will not provide for that sacrifice. He will not send you on a journey, not send you on a trip, and then not provide you with what you need to come through that journey. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar thereof, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar. Even as he's doing that, even as he's laying down and he's tying Isaac up, he's believing that God will provide. I can't imagine what was going through his mind, what was going through Isaac's mind, what was happening in those moments, in those tense moments. And Abraham has Isaac on the altar, and he stretched forth his hand, and he's about to sacrifice Isaac. He's about to take the knife and sacrifice Isaac. And in the 12th verse, God spoke, and he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Again, God had no interest in human sacrifice. His interest was in obedience. This is a hard thing to kind of wrap your mind around. You really have to look at it spiritually to understand what the scripture is saying and what God was doing. He had it planned out the whole time that there was a ram in the thicket. Abraham just had to be obedient. God has a plan, and when he sends you down a path that you don't understand and you're not for sure where you're going, he has a ram in the thicket for you. To Israel, when Jesus came through riding on the donkey, it looked like he was coming in and he was about to take over. Yet a week later, he's being crucified on the cross. That doesn't make sense in our minds. We think you should come in, you know, Israel wanted him to come in as a conqueror. They wanted him to come in and wipe out their enemies and establish Israel as the prominent, dominant nation. That wasn't God's plan. And you always have to think back to the scriptures that says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. And that's tough to understand because we think of ourselves as pretty intelligent. We think of ourselves as pretty intelligent beings, and we can explain all these things and we know all these things, yet our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that when God is telling us something, and God is leading us somewhere, and God is asking us to be obedient about something, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. If you've ever made plans and you've thought, yep, it's going to go like this and like this and like this, and then it's going to end up here, and then God comes in and turns all that on its head. The other thing is man is never going to get the glory for what God has done. Man will never get the glory for what God has done. God will always be able to be shown as the reason why something happened, not man. And so we have to consider all of those factors when we're talking about being obedient to God. And so we see the benefits of when we are obedient to God. We think about Jonah when he wasn't obedient to God. He ended up in the belly of the fish. He was there 3 days and three nights. And he still ended up going where God told him to go. And that's the thing. You can run from God. You can try to hide from God. But he is the ultimate hide-and-seek champion. He is always going to find you. And if you have a calling, if you have something that God has required you to do, you're going to do it. You're going to do it or die. But the thing is if we'll just be obedient, if we'll just say, God, here I am. And we're going to look in some scriptures in James. It's not about us on our own. We can't be obedient. We are a wretched sinner. We are lost and undone. It's like the song said, there was only one that was worthy. There was only one that was worthy to hang on the tree. Nothing you can do will ever be worthy. In your spirit is a disobedient spirit. But when you bring that to heal and you say, God, here I am. And sometimes that's every day coming back. God, here I am again. Here I am again. But if we will be faithful, he will be faithful. If we will listen and be in relationship with God, he will be faithful. and he will pour out his love and his blessings on you. Let's look and see what it says in the New Testament about obedience. We'll flip to James, the first chapter, in the 22nd verse. And in the 22nd verse, James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I heard it said this way: there's a lot of people that hear, there's a few people that listen. There's a difference between hearing the word and doing the word. There's a lot of people that sit in church on Sundays and on Wednesdays and they hear the word, but how many of us are doers of the word? We have to understand that just walking through the doors of the church doesn't equal salvation. We have to be doers of what God said to do. And in the 23rd verse, he said, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For when he beholdeth himself and goes away straightway, he forgetteth what manner of man he was." And as I was doing a little studying, a little digging on this scripture, it was giving the example, when you look in a mirror, you can see yourself. You can look in a mirror, you can see what you look like. You can see your teeth, your nose, your hair, if you got hair. You can see everything. But then when you turn away from that, you no longer see it. It's the same thing with God. When we're in line with God, when we're in tune with God, God will show us our shortcomings. God will show us the direction that we're going. But when we turn our eyes away from God, we lose that connection. So it's so important that we keep a strong connection with Him. It's so important that we keep the Word hid in our hearts. We have to keep our eyes on God. In the 25th verse, he said, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed." So he says there, "But whoso looketh," and that means to stoop down, that means to bend forward, to look more closely, to examine. If we will examine the Word of God, if we will examine what God's will is, if we will spend time, and I say this every time I preach, and I'm going to continue to say it because I believe it's from God, we have to be in our Bibles, and we have to be in prayer. That is a necessity. That is your connection to God. That doesn't save you. There's not X amount of scriptures, X amount of minutes praying that equals salvation, but it's closer to God. You will find that your day is better when you start it with God. You will find that you are more prepared to handle what life throws at you. Notice I didn't say life would be easy. It's still going to be difficult, but you will be able to walk through that storm and that trial when you start your day with Jesus. If you start your day with TikTok, you're going to have a little bit of entertainment, but then that's it. It's something that holds on to you. You can start your day with some Beyonce, and you get a little, you kind of get your hips shaking, and you'll be excited for that little bit, but then there's nothing else with it. But get you some good spirit-filled music, and see what happens with your day. You'll be singing that song all day, and it'll be hit in your heart. I was listening to it. It came on, and I like the old stuff. I do. And I was listening to, I forget his name, but it was a choir, and they were singing, "I've been running for Jesus a long time." I listened to, "I've been running for Jesus a long time. I'm not tired yet." And then it was, "I'm trying to make 100, 99 and a half won't do." And I was singing that song all day long, and it's in your soul. And so you can get some Garth Brooks if you want to, or you can get some Conway Twitty, but it won't move you like if you get a hold of Jesus. It won't move you like if you get a hold and you spend that time with God. Be doers, not only hearers. So he says, "Whosoever looketh," but it's not enough just to examine. It says we have to continue therein. Not only examine, but to continue to yield to God's requirements. Now, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're dealing with, and I don't know what God or the Holy Spirit is dealing with you this morning. But if He's asking you to do something, if He's asking you to be obedient, we simply have to say, "Yes, Lord." And that doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, and that doesn't mean it's automatically going to change. But what it does mean is the more we'll be obedient, God will be faithful. God will answer. And sometimes it's in the waiting. Sometimes that's where your trial is in the waiting. Can you wait on the Lord? When you've done all you can do, can you stand on the word of God and say, God, I'm right here. I know that you have something for me. I know that you're moving and working. I'm right here. What's the next step? And then when that step comes, take it. And keep moving forward with God and watch what he does and watch how he opens and makes things begin to happen. In the 26th verse, this one got me. I'm going to give you a trigger warning because this one hurt my feelings. It said, if any man among you seem to be religious, or a better word there would be spiritual, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion or spirituality, an undefiled before God the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affections, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So three things come out there. Can you be obedient to God in your actions? And a lot of us do that when we can come to church and we give to the poor and help the needy. We do okay on that one. Can we be obedient in our words? Now, it's easy on Easter Sunday, sitting in church at 9:48, I'm good with my words here. I'm good. It's outside of here. It's on Monday when that one coworker comes up to you, or you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off. Can you control your words then? Can you be obedient in your actions and in your words? And then the last one, and this is the one that God checked me on. Can you be obedient in your thoughts? Yep. Hurt my feelings. I said, I don't want to write that one down. That's getting on to me. But what God showed me was we control our actions and we control our words because people see that. No one sees your thoughts but you and God. No one knows what you're thinking. And God got on to me and said, there's sometimes you have some thoughts and you shouldn't be having those. I don't even want you to have those thoughts. I said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me with that one. I do pretty good at filtering what comes out of my mouth, but I don't always filter what I'm thinking. And so that's obedience to God. Obedience in our actions, obedience in our words, and obedience in our thoughts. And I'm not beating you up. Wherever you're at is where you're at. But we have to understand, we have to start to move forward. If God is dealing with you this morning, if God is pricking your heart, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning, just lean into it. God, here I am. I feel you. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And that's scary to say. I remember when I was a kid, I used to pray, please, God, I don't want to be a missionary. Don't make me a missionary. The missionaries would come and they would talk about all the things they were doing and the hardships. And in my heart, I'd go, God, I don't want to be a missionary. Please don't send me to do that. But you know that if God calls you to be a missionary, those are some of the happiest people on the earth. And they sometimes live in poverty and squalor, and they are happier than any billionaire you'll meet. Why? Because they're in the will of God. Whatever God has for you, whatever God is calling you to do, wherever he is leading you to, there is happiness and joy there because you are being obedient. We see Abraham in the trial that he went through. We see Abraham in the struggles that he had, and the 72 hours that he was thinking that he's going to have to sacrifice Isaac. Yet we see that God brought him through and God provided. There's going to be troubles and trials. You're never going to escape that in this Christian walk. But if we are obedient to God and we are following what God has asked you to do, there's joy in that. Couple more scriptures and we'll close. Let's look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Now, we think about sacrifices in the Old Testament. That was where, you know, a goat, a lamb was killed, and the blood was spread on the altar, and that was to atone for sins. Well, Jesus, when he came to earth and died on the cross, paid the ultimate price for our sins. That has been covered, and it never needs to be covered again. But now we are to be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means we have to sacrifice self. That means we have to sacrifice. There's things that in our lives that we're going to be asked to sacrifice. There's going to be things that we're not able to be involved in. There's things in this world that Christians ought not be involved in. And there are times that God is going to call you out of something that may not be a sin, and it may not be wrong for you to be involved in it, but God may call you out of that. And you have to remember, I have been called to be a living sacrifice. That is part of obedience to God. I am willing to be a living sacrifice. And what you'll find is, what's out in the world, you go chase that, that's all it is it's a constant chase. I went to church with a guy that he talked about, you know, when he was younger, and man, he, you know, went to the clubs and partied and smoked and drank and did all that. And he said what he remembered and what he realized when he stepped out of it was a constant chase. He said they would go, they had a place, they called it Up on the Hill, and they'd go up on the hill and they'd say, oh man, no, the party's down there. And everybody go down there, and you're constantly chasing. You're constantly chasing. You're constantly looking for that next thing to satisfy you, that next thing to fill you. But what's going to fill you is the love of God. What's going to fill you is when you accept Jesus as your Savior. When you accept Him, that void will be filled. And there's peace in that moment. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." We can't submit on our own. We don't have the capability. We are rebellious in nature. But if we will cling to Jesus and we will cling to the cross, He will provide. We are called not to be like the world. We see so many churches today that they want to get as close to the world as they can to try to bring people in. That's not what God has asked us to do. We're to stand out. We're to be different. The gospel is an offense. It was an offense in Jesus' day. It was an offense in Abraham's day, and it's an offense today. And it will continue to be that. We know that Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. He laid down His life that we may live. He is our example. His flesh did not want Him to suffer. He knew what He was about to go through. He knew the troubles and the trials that He was about to experience. Yet in Matthew 26 and verse 39, we have His words. And as He was praying, we know He's praying in the garden. And He went a little further and He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, "Oh Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He was talking about the crucifixion. His human side, His flesh side was crying out, "God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to endure this pain. I do not want to go through this sacrifice." But then He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thy will." And that's my desire today for all of us, is that we be in the will of God, that we be obedient to what God has called us to. And that's not an easy task, and that's not an easy chore, and I'm talking to myself just as well as I'm talking to you this morning. But wherever you're at in your walk, it's not too late to turn around and be obedient. If you're listening to the sound of my voice this morning and you're not saved, and maybe you've never heard of this man called Jesus, you can start being obedient right now where you're at. If you're a new baby Christian and maybe there's some things in your life that God's dealing with you to get out, you can turn those over to God and say, "God, I need help with this. I know that I don't need to be doing this. Help me with it." And if you've been saved, if you're a veteran, you've been saved 30 years, you've been saved longer than you weren't saved, I know you still got troubles and trials. I know that God is still dealing with you and working with you on things. And it's the same thing. We can be obedient to God. We can cry out to our Heavenly Father, Abba Father. How many know that He'll hear us this morning? Hallelujah. He's a good God, isn't He? Amen. Well, stand with me. Let's pray. And as we pray this morning, I want you to talk to God. And the thing is God knows. You know, there's no secrets with God. There's nothing that we're hiding from God. God already knows. God knows what you're dealing with. He knows what your struggle is. He knows your secret sin. And He still loves you. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows everywhere you've ever been, every thought you've said, everything you've said out loud, every time you've sinned, God was right there and He knows about it. And He still loves you. And He still cares for you. That's the amazing love that our Father has for us. So as we pray this morning, I would ask that you would just be honest with God and ask God, Lord, help my obedience. Lord, help me to walk in your ways. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this time of fellowship and worship. Lord, I thank you that your word has come forth, Father. Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, Lord, help us to be obedient. We understand that we are a wretched sinner and we don't deserve salvation, but you sent your son Jesus that we might live. And we are called to be a living sacrifice. And I pray that each and every person this morning, Father, you would touch their hearts, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to walk after your ways. Help us, Lord, to walk and talk and sound and think like you. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit as a comforter, Father. Lord, we're not worthy, but you loved us anyway. I thank you and I praise you and ask all this according to your will in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we go through a lot of things throughout our life. Every day we face a lot of things. And, you know, Brother Chuck brought a word that was powerful. The Lord really used him. And, you know, if it's one thing that we can continue to remember is every day, as we continue to strive and seek after the Lord, press into Him. No matter what you're going through, be thankful. Even if it's a bad situation, be thankful. That's the mindset that the world doesn't teach, but the Lord teaches us. Amen? Amen. If you haven't given already, we do need your support. We thank you for those that have joined us on the webcast. We thank you for everybody that has come out on this Resurrection Sunday as well, too. Also, please keep in mind, Lauren Larson, he will be here April 13th and the 14th. If you have never sat under this man's preaching, please come out and listen to the word of God that he preaches. He preaches it with clarity and with power, and it is very anointed. No service this Wednesday, so please keep that in mind. The following Wednesday, which is April 10th, we will pick up our Bible study again, and we're going to be starting our Bible study in the book of James. Amen. So come out to be partakers of that. So with that being said, again, happy Resurrection Sunday. God bless you all. And if you're going to be back for the second service, we'll see you back in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.